In just 50 years, Australian university degrees have gone from free. They've gone from being free to costing up to $50,000 alone just for an arts degree. So how did we get here? Despite the Albanese government's decision to cut 20% of existing HEX debt, cost of living pressures and rising degree prices continue to affect Aussie students and graduates. To shed light on the topic, we're joined this morning by Professor George Williams, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Western Sydney. Professor Williams, thanks so much for being with us on 2SER Brekkie.
Pleasure.
Well, first of all, I'd like you to tell us a bit about your new essay, Aiming Higher, Universities and Australia's Future. What's the, what you're advancing here, the argument and what you're prosecuting?
Well, I wrote the essay for a couple of reasons. One is I wanted to understand how we have got to this point where the uni sector is under such attack with such deep community concerns about what we do. But also I felt strongly that in this very public debate about universities, there was one big factor missing, and that was the voice of students. I felt students are obviously why we have a university sector, first and foremost. And in my experience at Western Sydney Uni, what I've seen is that a lot of talk about issues of university, but actually where's the talk about the poverty that many students are in, the food issues they're facing, the financial, often crippling challenges they face during study. And so I wrote the essay because I, having heard those things very clearly, I both wanted to understand and felt we need to elevate the voice of students to the front of the debate.
And that's the central thesis that you're prosecuting in the essay. Within the book, you reflect on the history of university fees here in Australia and you outline three distinct phases. If you could tell us a little bit more about each phase and how it's led us to where we are now.
And we've got a long period of universities in Australia, of course, going back 175 years. You've got the lengthy phase where there were not anything but just a couple of universities around the country, Melbourne, Sydney, and a few in other cities as well. We've then got the post-war phase where you saw some development, but again, no rapid expansion. And what you saw really from Whitlam on was you saw a very different approach to universities. That began with free fees under the Whitlam government in 1974. I mean, that's a distant memory now, but the big change was with the Dawkins reforms in the 1980s. That was a Hawke Labor government. Mm-hmm. What they wanted to do was they wanted a couple of things. They wanted to open higher education up to the masses, you know, a really important issue of fairness, social mobility, that the economic benefits of university were widely open, but they didn't want to pay for it. And so what they did was they removed the Whitlam free university education, put in student fees, and also essentially said to universities, you're going to have to generate the income from other sources. So if you look at that phase in the 1980s, universities got about 80% of their funding from the Commonwealth, from the taxpayer. Now it's 40%. So it's halved that percentage in the decade since. But at the same time, the number of students going to uni has tripled. So as a policy, it's worked. Unis have able to massively increase their numbers, but the taxpayer hasn't paid for it, but students have, and also international students in particular over more recent times.
Well, I was about to say, so international students have really picked up the burden of that cost. And as you say, so it really started to change with the Dawkins reforms in the 1980s. Paul Keating was treasurer and what John Dawkins was education minister.
Correct.
He looked after the education portfolio. But I mean, when they introduced HEX in 1989, I mean, what people were paying was quite a small amount.
It was $1,800, and it didn't matter what you were studying. I mean, I was part of that.
So it was an easy sell to the taxpayer or to university students to pay this small amount.
I mean, even then, there was a lot of protests from uni students and people who said education should be free. Everyone should have access. But I think the thing that did work, and I'm a supporter of this approach, is that you didn't pay up front. You paid it when your earnings were high enough, out of your tax dollars. So it was deferred payment if, in a sense, you got the benefit of going to university. But it was also fairly low. But, of course, what happened since is it's gone up enormously. So that small amount, I mean, over the intervening years, inflation has gone up 62% and student fees have gone up 145%, more than double. So we've seen governments time and time again jack up the fees until we really got to the end of the road and the worst, which was the job-ready graduates in 2021, the Morrison government, that introduced what today is a $50,000 arts degree. And they introduced that degree, the most expensive degree in the country, to essentially dissuade students from studying humanities, philosophy and history and the like. And so it moved from just paying for education to actually governments intervening to try and affect student choice.
It was interesting that you said as well that, you know, the Hawke government wanted to expand university access and for everybody to be able to access it. But it seems like a strange idea to do that through getting students to pay. I mean, surely, was there not higher uptake of university in the 1980s when university was free, when there wasn't a cost, when there wasn't a price tag attached to it up front, in a sense?
Well, it's interesting, and the answer in good part, particularly in the 70s and early 80s, was no, that uni education was still for the elite, for a small group. We didn't have the universities, in part, that could actually service that number of students. So what Dawkins also did was massively expanded the number of unis.
Right.
So that's when, say, Western Sydney Uni was created in 1989, and we saw the big expansion in the providers. So suddenly there was capacity within the sector to take many extra students, and otherwise there was just no place for them.
And so but this again, is how that expansion was funded for.
Exactly. Right. So they funded, and the government said, we want the expansion, but we don't want to pay for it. So how are we going to get others to pay for the excess capacity in the system? And they said students were the number one place.
Mm. Do you have concerns around, you know, when we talk about the Morris, you know, under the Morrison government, the Job Ready graduate scheme? We just heard from one of our producers earlier talking about the fact that she's now paying double for an arts degree than she would have had she enrolled the year prior. So a lot of people then are being dissuaded from taking up an arts degree and maybe following certain passions that they have, and they're being incentivized to maybe, you know, start studying agriculture or health or science or maybe something they're not as passionate about because it's cheaper. Won't that end up being a huge waste of money at the end of the road when, you know, possibly they go, no, this really isn't for me. I'm ignoring what my passions are. I'm not following my dreams.
Well, and yes, and it's a policy failure of a very large magnitude. I think one of the worst few of this century in terms of public policy, because what's actually happened is, as you've said, either maybe someone switches but it wasn't for them, waste of money, or actually what happens is not many people switch anyway, to tell you the truth. The data shows less than 1 in 50 students will switch based on price. And you can imagine somebody's passionate about philosophy, $50,000. Do they want to switch to maths, $14,000? Big difference. But philosophers don't transfer easily. Or, yes, you want to be a historian? No, let's do agriculture. Just doesn't work that way.
No.
So, in fact, they don't switch in any significant number. What they do is often they don't go to uni at all. And particularly people from poorer backgrounds, we're just pricing them out of university, because the humble arts degree not only has great jobs, opportunities for people, but also is the degree of choice for low SES students, Indigenous women. It's the pathway degree for people who don't have a family history of university. Then they may swap to other things. So if you cut that pathway off, you're actually just reducing social mobility and introducing quite regressive policies. And the data is showing that clearly. It's why people know this has to go.
So it's actually having the opposite effect of what was originally intended when we got rid of free university and introduced HECS, really.
Yes, it is. It is. And it just fundamentally misunderstood the economics of student choice. And that is that students make life choices, not just on dollars, but other things. They won't flip, but yeah, you can price them out.
In your essay, you discuss the corporatisation of public universities, which are largely funded by full fee-paying international students. Now, the high fees, in addition to visa limitations on working, can cause obviously a lot of financial strain and stress for these students. Moving forward, do you think that we might see a more sustainable model for Australian universities from both a financial and wellbeing perspective for students?
Well, it's certainly not sustainable at the moment, and that's why we have a few thousand job cuts across the sector. It's devastating and having a terrible impact upon people's lives. And the way unis had coped with, if you like, declining funding for domestic students, it's not just fees being jacked up for students, but unis get less per domestic student as well. So international students filled the breach, but then the government introduced a cap, limits upon the international students. And those international students pay for a lot of salaries across the sector. So it's left unis financially squeezed on multiple fronts. And it means you've got a model where many universities are just reducing their size. Across the whole country, we're seeing it. And that's essentially as a product of policies that said, go international, get the students to cross-subsidise. And now the policy is don't get the international students to the same numbers, but there's no government funding to make up the gap.
Professor George Williams, the Vice-Chancellor of the University of Western Sydney, is our guest on 2SER Breakfast this morning. We're talking about how we've gone from free tertiary education during the 70s and 80s to paying over $50,000 for an arts degree today. We'd love to hear from you, 0468 44 1073 is the text line. If you have any questions for Professor Williams or you'd like to share some of your thoughts or possibly your story, please do text in 0468441073. Our current, obviously, the current HEX scheme, what do you think the future of it looks like? Do you think it's a system that continues? You obviously don't think it's a system that continues to serve students in Australia. What do you think the long-term sustainability of it is?
Look, I think in broad design, it's fair that students pay a reasonable fee to study at university, given that there's a big earning boost that students can get, particularly in some areas. So, for example, business and law, I'm comfortable with them paying some higher fees. My concern is it's just got completely out of control. Mm. It's not fair. And particularly to have a system where those on the lowest salaries, which are humanities and the like, pay the highest fees, it's unfair and prices people out. So I think the system actually worked quite well for quite a long period of time. You know, as I say, I paid fees for a period, but we've become too reliant on student debt. And I think a system that leaves students with these massive loans, then you've got a big price of housing, it just means for young people, they're getting a really raw deal. And I think the government should reform the system and set fees at a more reasonable level.
The decision made earlier in the year by the Albanese government to cut HEX debt by 20% was evidently a step in the right direction. Do you think, is there anything else Australian universities could be doing to help their students financially in the current cost of living crisis?
Yes, and I think the 20% was worthwhile, but I think the more important thing is just cut the price of the fees in the first place. And I think, yes, in our case at Western Sydney Uni, there's a lot we're doing because students are really squeezed. One of the biggest problems is just food. We've got one in two of our students with food insecurity. And so in our case, we've got food pantries once a week, come onto campus, rice, oats, pasta, about 25,000 free meals we're giving out. We're also really focused on devices because a lot of our students only have a mobile phone. Really tough to write a 3,000-word English essay with a mobile phone. So, you know, we're in the education business, but also the food business, devices. We've got to do everything we can to support our students to stay and study in a really difficult climate.
Indeed. Professor George Williams, thanks so much for joining us on 2SER Breakfast this morning.
Pleasure. Thank you.
That was Professor George Williams talking to us about the history and future of the prices of Australian university degrees. If you'd like to read more on the topic, be sure to check out his essay, Aiming Higher, Universities and Australia's Future.